Guys, we get to talk about the Bible. That's why we're talking about the Bible. We're talking about God's Word. And I mean, what a better topic. What a foundational thing for us to talk about. And to kick that off tonight, and the lessons are going to be phenomenal throughout the rest of the weekend. They're going to build up your faith because they're going to build up your foundation. Sometimes when I preach, I'll preach on topics like the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I like to say about the Holy Spirit when I preach on the Holy Spirit is that everything that we know about the Holy Spirit, we know by faith. That's how I know about the Holy Spirit. I know by faith. I know because God told me those things. God's revealed. I don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. If God didn't tell me there was a Holy Spirit, I don't know what He does. If God didn't tell me what He does, I don't know anything about it except for what's been revealed through Scripture. I know it by faith. And there are a lot of things that fall into that category, right? If you want to talk about the design for the home and what God intended, the proper role of men and women, how do I know? The world says a lot of things about that. Well, I know what God intended because He revealed those things to me. You want to talk about the plan of salvation. How is it that you know that God wants you to be immersed for the remission of your sins? Listen, that is a revolutionary concept to a lot of people. I was reading just this morning about these people that have made this new discovery of this thing, and they called it spontaneous baptism. And all they were talking about, they said, when somebody becomes convicted, we baptize them right away. And they said, that's just what we saw in the Bible, right? But how would you know that if it hadn't been revealed? Who would ever even have the idea to be a... That's a Baptist right there. To be immersed in water, except for the Bible tells us that. The Bible reveals those things. You want to talk about the scheme of redemption. That Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified. But yet I know that there was more than a crucifixion that went on at the cross, at Calvary, right? I know that the Son of God shed His blood, and that blood purchased the church that belongs to Jesus, and that even to this day, as a Christian, that His blood continually cleanses me of my sin. I know that. I wouldn't know that on my own. I know that because God has revealed those things to me through His Word, through the Bible. This is foundational. What do you think about the Scriptures? What do you think about the Bible? This is a book. How many people have a Bible? Hold up your Bible if you got a Bible. Or your phone. If you're a phone user, hold your phone up. And hold a song book up. Hold something up, okay? This is a book that's... Listen, most of us don't read books like that, okay? Most people do not read books like that. But I'm going to tell you, this is not just any book. This is not just any book. This book is the message of God. That God has revealed a message to us that He wants you to know what's in this book because He wants you know that to obey these things, not just because He wants to control you, but He wants you to know these things because He wants you to be saved. That's what the Bible is. It is the product of a God who wants us. He's not hiding these things. He's not keeping things secret. He's not playing games with us. He wants you to know something because if you don't know these things, you're going to be lost, not because of Him, but because of your own sin. But if you do know these things, you can be saved by His blood and live with Him for all of eternity. That's what the Bible's about. I want us to understand that. It's not dull, it's not boring, it's not overly complicated, it's not any of those things that the world thinks it is. When you tell somebody, well, I'm going to church on a Thursday night because we're going to talk about the Bible, and your neighbor said, ooh, have fun, you know? I said, no, they don't get it. They don't know what we're talking about. They ought to be here. I'm glad that you're here because we're talking, man, this is an awesome subject to get an understanding of what the Bible is. The Bible is given by the inspiration of God. It is inspired. Oh, and by the way, David thought it'd be funny to give me two sermons. It's indestructible. It's indestructible. And we'll eventually get there because there is no clock in this place. Okay. So turn in your Bibles to probably the most foundational verse that we'll talk about is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You know this text. Most of you can probably quote this text. The Bible says, for all scripture is given by inspiration. Theopneustos. You're not going to get a lot of Greek out of me, okay? But there's one of those Greek words you probably ought to know, that theos, like theology, right? Theos is God. Neustos has to do with the idea of breath. So all scripture, it is God breathed. These are the things that God has breathed out. He has spoken forth from His Word. The scriptures, they're not just a book. It's not just an academic study. They're not just words. They are the very words of God. Paul would put it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Listen, there are lots of people who've got silver tongues. There are lots of people that are motivational and they say interesting things and they're easy to listen to and so on and so forth. Listen, that's not what this is about. This is not about the persuasive words of men. This is about us hearing the Word of God. Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. There's some things that God wants you to know. Therefore, He gave you the Scriptures. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, or that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us the Bible to help us understand what proper doctrine is. Now, that's not a popular word in our culture, is it? People don't like that idea of doctrine, but they don't, listen, they don't like it because they said that doctrine divides, and doctrine does divide because truth divides. And there's some division that's bad, but there's some division that is good and appropriate and necessary. How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between saying the things and teaching the things that are appropriate, we'll cause appropriate division, and we'll cause inappropriate division? Well, you appeal to the Word of God. You appeal to the Bible. That's why we're given the Scriptures by the inspiration of God, because they're good for that. They're good for saying, so what does this church teach? Now, all that means is teaching, right? So somebody says they don't like doctrine. They're saying they don't like teaching. They don't like the teachings of Jesus. Well, be careful about saying that, right? What an arrogant statement that would be. But what does this church teach? Does this church teach anything about marriage? Does this church teach anything about sexuality? Does this church teach anything about worship? Does this church teach anything about salvation and how a person is saved? All of those things are questions to ask, right? I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches stuff on all of that. So how do we know? Well, that's why we have the Scriptures. That's why we understand the Bible is given by inspiration to help us with reproof, to help us with correction. You know, if I'm going to go to you and I'm going to say, I see that you're doing something, and I think you should stop doing that. I think that what you said last Tuesday night was inappropriate, and you should stop saying that and say something else. You know, I think that thing that I heard about you doing, I think you should consider repenting before everyone at church in regards to those things. Now listen, if I'm gonna have that conversation with you, or better yet, if you're gonna have that conversation with me, because that's how that's supposed to work as a brotherhood, right? Listen, you better come with a whole lot more than I think. You better come with a whole lot more than, well, you know, that really makes me uncomfortable. Listen, if it just makes you uncomfortable, you can keep it to yourself. If it just makes me uncomfortable, I don't have the right to come to you and say, you got to change. I better come to you with the Word of God. Listen, I got some concerns, and they're not based upon my background or my preference. They're based on, thus saith the Lord. Because that's what's going to change us. And so, when we get into reproof, when we get into correction, I talked to someone the other day, and it was a church of our brethren, and they were dealing with something they said was a problem in their church, and I kindly pointed out that what they were dealing with, they had no Bible for. Okay? It happens. They need to quit. They need to let that go. I know they had strong feelings about it, but if you got no Bible for it, listen, the Bible's good for those things. The inspiration of God is good for those things. Now, and not just on the negative, but for the positive. We're not just the people that are against the things of the world. We are for the things of God. To talk about what it means to love, what it means to be filled with grace, to talk about holiness, to talk about godliness. You could go on with those things, right? Those things flow out of the things of the things that God has inspired. There are things in a book that come from God that you would expect to be different from all the other books, right? And I know we're gonna see. I don't want to overstep some of their lessons, so I had to kind of look at this going forward. But you're thinking about the unity of the Bible. I used to not even think that was much of an evidence, and the older I get and the more I consider it, I think that may be at the top of the list, at the unity that we have in the Scriptures. To talk about the predictive prophecies that we find within the Scriptures. You know, how is it that when people ask us, well, where is this Messiah going to be born, that they had something that they knew where Jesus was, I can't talk, they knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. How did they know that? Well, they knew that because they read the Bible. But that's not, I mean, it's not like saying it's going to be in Jerusalem. It's a little nothing town. The predicted prophecies are really, it's amazing and overwhelming. And for me personally, if you want to talk about the scientific foreknowledge, I think you guys got a whole lesson. Eric Garner is going to give you a whole lesson on scientific foreknowledge in the Bible. How in the world did these people know these things that they wrote thousands of years before science and the world understood these things? When you talk about, I still remember the first time I heard about circumcision on the eighth day and what God said there in Genesis chapter 17, and to understand that children are very susceptible when they're cut on between the, I think it's between, I got it in my notes, between the second and the fifth days. Holt's pediatric medical book says that hemorrhages at this time, though often inconsequential or sometimes extensive, they may produce serious damage to internal organs, especially to the brain, and cause death from shock. So what do they do when they cut on a baby today? They give them a shot. They give them that shot of vitamin K, right? And to understand, there's never a time when there's more vitamin K present than right there on the eighth day. It's 100% of what's normal, but not before then, because before then it's dangerous. Now, I just gave you a highlight of that whole argument and probably skipped over a bunch of stuff. But you guys read that book. It's an old book, but it's still pretty good. None of These Diseases. The S.I. McMullen, I think, was the guy who wrote that book. I don't know him. But there's a line in this book about circumcision on the eighth day. And he said, listen to this. As we congratulate medical science for this recent finding, we can almost hear the leaves of the Bible rustling. And they would like to remind us that 4,000 years ago, when God initiated the circumcision with Abraham, he said, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. Like science, like, whoa, look at this new information that we understand about blood and clotting and how it happens in babies. And this is amazing what we learn in our world today. And it is amazing. And they're saying, well, I mean, about 4,000 years ago, God knew about that. How in the world is that in Genesis chapter 17? Listen, the only explanation you're going to have is a supernatural one. You're going to have to point to God. So there's evidences like that over and over. How they built the ark and it was the perfect size of that sea-going vessel that they would build today. I think Eric Garner is going to speak on those things. It's going to be a great lesson. So you make sure that you're here for that. The Bible is a special book. It's a supernatural book. And we need to understand that. It comes from God. It doesn't just contain the Word of God. It's not just highly inspirational. It's It's not something that just, you know, will, if you read it, it will help you be a better person. No, the words that we see in the Scriptures are there on purpose. Whole other conversation of translations. But the words of those letters that are written, they're there on purpose to the point that Jesus would make arguments based on nothing more than the tense of a verb. Do we understand that? So the words are significant. God wants you to see and understand those words. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you that not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." And I'm not going to give you a Hebrew lesson tonight. Passed 3 semesters of Hebrew. My teacher said, "You pass, never tell anyone who taught you Hebrew." Okay? So I'm not going to give you a Hebrew lesson. But he's talking about just basic punctuation marks. That's how much of the Bible is inspired. It's not just the big picture. It's everything down to the very words and their tenses and their punctuation that are there on purpose. They're there because God wanted those things to be preserved in the way that they are preserved. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. You know, there in Matthew 19, Jesus is... they're asking him questions about what's lawful for a man in regards to marriage and divorce and remarriage. And he gives them this answer in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. And he starts off and he says, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" Okay, so he's quoting from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, right? He's going back to the beginning. If we were talking about marriage and divorce, we want to make that point. He's going back to the beginning, to God's original intent in these things. That's not the sermon I'm preaching right now, but I wanted you to see that. But when you go back to the beginning, when you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, these are the words of Moses. Moses is writing these things, and if you go, he even talks about God. He's talking in Genesis 2 about God in the third person, right? But when he comes here to Matthew chapter 19, the text says that he who made them said, God said these things. Well, in Genesis 2, Moses said these things because he's talking about God. But Jesus says, God said these things. He who created them said these things. In other words, I want you to get the point, that what he's doing here is he's seemingly saying that you can go to any random part of the Old Testament, and just like Genesis 2 in verse 24, written by Moses, and you can look at that text written by Moses or presumably even one of the prophets, and you can say, God said. We say, Moses spoke for God. Jeremiah spoke for God. Isaiah spoke for God. To understand, we're not just talking about the words of a man. We're talking about a man that was moved by the Spirit of God. God is the one that is the originator of these things. And then he says, if you back up, and you can't hardly look at these texts without noticing this, have you not read? Have you not read? We got lots of questions about life and godliness and what's right and what's wrong. And one of the biggest problems that we have is that nobody's read the Bible. If you've read the Bible, you'll know the answer to that. Now, I don't know, you just finished up with school, right? And so don't do this, but you're going to be tempted. You're going to be in a Bible class and somebody's going to ask a question and you're going to want to look at them and say, have you not read your Bible? Like, what kind of question is that? Right? Don't do that. I would not suggest, you're not Jesus, okay? But Jesus says that over and over. People ask these questions and say, well, if you'd read your Bible, you'd know the answer to that. That's the solution. The solution is to be a people of the book. To be a people, because God has given you those things on purpose so that you can know. Many times in our world, and even in churches, people don't know the will of God simply because they have not read the Scriptures. Sometimes the problem is that people want to talk about everything in the world besides what does the Bible say? Because we got to have churches and we got to have homes where we're constantly asking the question, well, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And I hope that sounds really simple to you, because it is really simple. But I want you to understand, listen, there's a lot of people that don't like that question. Yeah, there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who don't like you asking the question, what does the Bible say? Young people, you're going to grow up. You're going to move away from here. You're going to go to different places. You're going to find a new church home and all of these things. And when you go into that church home, I want you to continue to ask that question. Well, what does the Bible say? And when you go into that, and when you go into that new congregation, if people don't like you asking the question, what does the Bible say? You get out of there. That's not the kind of church you want to be a part of, because that's not a church founded on the Word of God. And I'm just telling you, you may not know that they're out there, but I'm telling you they're out there. There's places that we would even look at and say they're our brethren, and they don't like to look at what the Bible says. That's dangerous. Jesus says, you got to look at the text, because the text is what comes from God. And so Jesus speaks and he talks about the things that he's revealed, the things that we see in the Gospels. Maybe you have like a red letter edition. That's not of God, that's of man. But you see those things in the text. Jesus himself says in John 12, I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, I speak just as the Father has told me. Jesus says, you want to know where I got my message? Got it from the Father. Got it from the Father. John 14, he talks about how he was going to send the Helper. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. Why? To guide these men unto the knowledge of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's true about the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Peter 1, 21 through 22. I do have a clock, so you're just going to have to look some of this stuff up on your own. I want to talk about some of those New Testament epistles, because this is important when we think about the Bible. Paul and other apostles wrote by the inspiration of the Scriptures. Excuse me, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. They wrote the things of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, they talk about how some of the things that Paul wrote, they're hard to understand. That's probably Romans, right? I mean, it's probably Romans. If you've studied it, it's kind of, whew, I mean, that'll wear you out, but it's worth the investment. But he goes on and talks about how some people twist those things as they do the rest of the Scriptures. He says what Paul wrote in the Scriptures, that's the same thing. What Paul wrote, those are the Scriptures. The Scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And even of his own self, I want you to note this in your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said this, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, why are we looking at that? We live in this world where a lot of people are wanting to play Jesus against Paul. They're wanting to say, well, and represent this idea, well, Jesus said one thing and Paul said something else. And this came up several years ago. It's almost a decade ago, the first time I really laid eyes on this, when people started talking about the idea of having women preachers in the church. The Bible's pretty clear about that, right? Paul's pretty clear about that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, woman not to teach, have authority over a man. Whatever you do to apply that, it's pretty clear, right? But people come and they say, I want to have a woman preacher. And they say, well, what you got to do is you got to read Paul through Jesus. Because Jesus said one thing and Paul said something. No, they didn't. Jesus said, hey, everything that I say, you know where I got that from? Got it from the Father. Paul says, everything that I'm saying to you, you know where I got that son? You know where I got that from? I got it from the Father. What I'm telling you, it's not my own. It's the testimony of God. There's no conflict in those things, and this is dangerous. This is dangerous, and it's like a little kid playing with stuff that they don't even know what they're playing with, and they're going to hurt themselves, okay? Because all these churches that are going down this road and they're trying to dismiss the things that Paul has written because they don't like them culturally. It's not because they can't read what he's written. They can read what he's written, but they don't like them culturally. Listen, the same sermon that people preach in order to justify women preachers in the church, the same sermon The same principles are preached by those who are trying to justify homosexuality as a legitimate lifestyle, even in the church today. It's the same sermon. It's the same points. I preached a sermon once. I just put them side by side. Same points. You just change it. Okay? So those people don't believe me on this. Churches that are struggling with women preachers, they're going to struggle with accepting homosexuality if not already. Because their issue is not women preachers. Their issue is not homosexuality. Their issue is what they believe and understand about the inspiration of the Scriptures. That's the problem. That's tearing apart churches. Listen, Paul would put it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, we thank God. I thank God. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. You don't need to hear David Sproul's thoughts on life. That'd probably put us all to sleep, wouldn't it? What you need to hear is the word of God. And when he speaks and appeals to the Bible, then whatever you think about him or his tie or his haircut or whatever, or his style, I want to know what God says. That's where the power's at, right? Because the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now, there's a lot of people who don't like that. There's a lot of people in this world who don't like not only the fact that the Bible is inspired, they don't like the things that are inspired. And people have tried to attack it, to shut it down, from religious leaders to skeptics, to politicians, to philosophers, to pagans, to culture at large. There's an outstanding article on thechristiancourier.com about the indestructibility of the Bible. You go and read it, and we'll shave 20 minutes off this sermon. Okay? But to understand, they haven't been able to shut it down. They haven't been able to stop it, and they never will. One of my favorite quotes has to do with Voltaire and how he's talked about, I think it was in the 1700s, he said that he predicted that within 100 years after his death that the Bible would be extinct. 50 years after he died, his house was bought by the Geneva Bible Society, and they used Voltaire's printing presses to print the Word of God. Man, it's like awesome, right? This uppity, full of himself guy who thinks he's going to outlast the Word of God. And God says, you're dead and I continue on. Man, I think that's powerful. There's lots of quotes and there's poems. One that I loved, it said, the Word of God, it's the anvil. It's the anvil upon which the opinions of men are smashed. And people can say this and people can say that over and over. People can ignore it. People can hate it. People can suppress it. People can make fun of it. People can rebel against it. It's still there. It's still there. Peter would put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 1. That he says that we have been born again. If you're a Christian, it's because the Word of God was planted in your heart. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, right? You didn't become a Christian on your own. You became a Christian because the seed, which is the Word of God, was planted within your heart. And it gave forth fruit in good soil. You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but through the incorruptible seed, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You keep reading. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flower falls away. Man, there's lots of stuff, and it seems like it's there, and it's never going to go anywhere, but I'm just going to tell you, it fades away. Hasn't life taught you that? You don't got to be very old to pick up on some of that, right? There are pictures of everybody in this room at some point in your life where you bought into the latest fashion trend or the styles of the day, and you look back at those pictures and you say, what in the world was I thinking? Because it changed, right? I mean, it changed. There was a lady, she's passed away now, Miss Vernell, sweet lady. But I loved going to her house. She had this picture and when she was in the Air Force, and she had the biggest afro I've ever seen in my life. And every time I'd go over, I'd say, is that you, Miss Vernell? And she said, yeah, that's me, all right. And she's kind of, it's like, that was a different world she was living in. Okay, but that changed. That changed. But the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't go away. And so the word of God, the things that God has inspired, they can be preached and proclaimed. You can ignore them. Listen, that happens every Sunday, doesn't it? People ignore the word of God. They hear it and they say, I know that's talking about me. You do nothing about it. You get mad about it. People pitch fits about it. You could protest about it. You could make fun of it. Those poor foolish people who believe in the Bible. That happens all the time. And guess what? When you're dead and gone, that truth is still going to be there. Because that's the nature of truth. Truth is indestructible. No matter what you think or what you do about it. On the way down this afternoon, I was making it in my head. I was thinking about what Jesus said to Paul when he says that he was kicking against the goads, right? And I don't know if this even fits at all, but in my mind this was fitting. And we don't even know what a goad is, right? But it's that sharp stick. He says you're kicking against it. And I thought that's what's happening when people are trying to destroy the Bible. All they're doing is hurting themselves. All they're doing is hurting their own family and their own lives. They're kicking against the goads. They're kicking against the spears, right? But guess what? They're not hurting the truth. The truth is what it is. It's that reflection of God. Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Listen, the gospel was preached. The gospel was preached in the first century, and the gospel was preached when the Roman Empire was the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and the gospel was preached in the United States of America, and the gospel will be preached when this nation is long gone. Because the truth endures. Nations come and go. People come and go. Cultures come and go. The word of God will endure forever. I got to know that. That's the foundation that I'm hitching my life to. That's why this book is so important. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you know about this book, but you got to find out about this book. And you could take the greatest scholar, the most learned person in this room, and they're going to tell you, the deeper I go, the deeper it gets. That's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. And it's kind of so. Commit yourself to saying, God wants me to know His Word, and I want to know His Word. I want to be a man of the book. I want to be a woman of the book. I read, and there was a book that Robert Sumner wrote called Wonder in the Word of God. He tells of a man years ago in Kansas City, Missouri, who was severely injured in an explosion. And when that happened, his face was badly disfigured. Now this guy, this is supposed to be a true story. You can look it up, I think. But this guy was badly injured. His face was burned. And the reality was he was a pretty new Christian. And one of his really great disappointments was he would never be able to read the Bible. I mean, he was blinded. He lost his vision. But he heard about a lady. He heard about a lady in England who had learned to read Braille. And he couldn't even feel with his hands, but she had learned to read Braille with her lips. And she would read the Bible with her lips. I can't even imagine, can you? So he said, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to learn to read the Bible with my lips. But when he got his Braille Bible and he started to learn Braille, even his lips were too badly damaged to really be able to feel those things. But the story's told that one day he noticed as he was trying to do this that his tongue kind of brushed over the text and he could feel it. His tongue could feel the raised characters and it just hit him. It hit him like a ton of bricks. I can hear God's Word. I can read God's Word with my tongue. And as of the writing of that book, it said that he had read the entire Bible four times with his tongue. You're telling me I can't know the Word of God? You want to talk about somebody who wanted to know the things that God wanted him to know? Who was passionate about those things? Who was dedicated to those things? Because the Word, it stands here. It stands in this pulpit and it stands in your living room and it stands in your family. And from this Word, God calls out to you. There are things that He wants you to know. There are things He wants you to understand. There are things that He wants you to walk in because He wants you to be saved. He calls you to listen to read, to know the will of the Creator. And if you will listen to the Bible, if you will listen to the Bible, then you will hear the words of God, and they will change you, and they will transform you. Some of you are walking testimonies to the power of the transformative power of the Word of God, because you were willing to humble yourself and to allow yourself to be molded by His will rather than yours. And those words of God will save your soul if you will give yourself to them. So God's invitation, the invitation that I read about in the pages of the Bible, are that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to live as a man, as a perfect man, and that He died on the cross. No matter how familiar this may be to you, you don't take this for granted, because this is the most important thing you'll ever understand in your whole life. And He died on the cross for you and for your sin. And He calls you to be washed in His blood. And if you're not a Christian, He calls you from the Word of God to repent of your sins and to be immersed for the remission of your sins. And if you've sinned in your... Maybe your sin is that you've neglected the Word of God that you've carried under your arm for a decade. Maybe that's your sin. He's calling you to repent of that. He's calling you to say, there's no more. I'm not taking this book for granted. I'm going to be a man of the book. I'm going to learn the Word of God so I can live the Word of God. He calls you to bring your burdens to Him, the one who cares and the one who is able. That is God's invitation from the Bible, the Word of God. Do not take that lightly. And if you are subject to it, you answer Him tonight as we stand and as we sing.